The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Stand up, all fat men, stand up straight. Stand up because no chair can hold your weight.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Well, you know, I took this test and it sort of turns out that I'm technically mentally retarded.
I can't hear you. You'll have to speak into the microphone.
Paul Perillo.
No, don't do that. Don't try to turn my words on me. You know, you can just go to hell. We're like, yeah. Like that.
You can't hit me. I'm a girl.
And Andy.
I don't care. I don't give it. I'm all worked up right now, so we have to do it. Just do it, okay?
Andy Hart.
Let's corner the nerds and call them gay and make them show us their penises.
Won't that be gay of them?
Yeah. Eric Scalavino.
That's the most idiotic thing I've ever heard. You're a moron. A pretentious moron. And you know what? Take that sweater off. Makes you look queer.
For now, anyway.
You think I care about you? No. You're just smart enough and you're just clever enough to occasionally amuse me.
PFW in Progress.
Tell me what it was like being one of them.
It was like basking in the warm glow of a higher intelligence as it envelops you and allows you to become part of its everlasting glory.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
We'll do that again. Welcome to PFW in Progress. We apologize for the delay. We're about 11 minutes late here. All of a sudden, our board just went dead.
Broke.
And
I'm blaming Brian.
It's one of those things where the plug just fell out.
Well, I was hoping to get out of doing the show.
Yeah. So. You got to turn up. You got to turn on your mic there, I think.
There?
I think so.
Doesn't stay on.
Or the other one? No.
Hello?
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, perfect.
There you go, Brian. All right.
I was hoping to get out of doing the show, so I unplugged the board.
Yeah.
I was hoping you were going to leave, too.
All right.
Just
Boy, she's
kidding.
Tougher than Eric. Jesus.
I'm just kidding.
Well, new voices here in case you didn't catch the tweets. Brian, Andy, and Eric are – not Brian. Paul, Andy, and Eric are all on vacation.
Please
and
don't confuse Brian me
Brian Maury, executive director of the Hall at Patriot Place presented by Raytheon, is here. Jackie Britton, the star and host of Patriots Today on Patriots.com, is here, also seen on All Access. And
wow, what a flattering title.
A bunch of other stuff.
You're on All Access, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, Brian clearly doesn't pay attention to any of our content here at Patriots.com.
He's very busy with fifth grade school groups and memorabilia.
Right, very important presence we have in here today. Yeah. We should be thankful.
But Brian used to be, you know, co-host of the show back in the day.
Back when it was good?
Yeah, well, that's debatable. And not that he knows anything about the Patriots, but he used to do this show, so you know
they play in the World
Cup.
The Patriots.
It's like old home week for you.
Yeah,
old home week.
He's a hothead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He flies
off the handle.
I love that this is still decorated in America, like all the American flags everywhere.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
That would be an inaccurate depiction of me, Fred.
No, you're a hothead.
I am not a hothead.
You are. All right, we're gonna be here.
Hey, I'm one of the few people who never cursed on this program. Okay.
I don't.
We're on here until 2 o'clock. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. 855-PATS-500 is the way to get here. Toll free. We're talking everything Patriots, even though this is kind of the dog days of, we call it the NFL.
Yeah.
All the players are off.
You call it the NFL? Other people call it something else.
Yeah. you know, a lot of players are on vacation. You know, some are still in town doing their workout routine, but for the most part, this place is closed for football business.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of construction going on. A
lot of construction.
I mean, the weight room is being renovated. And
yeah, did y'all see that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks really, really nice.
New
yeah.
flooring
so
being put
yeah.
down.
So a lot of stuff going on here despite no players or coaches here.
They're digging up the rocky seascape outside the weight room. I don't know what they're doing over there.
I don't know, but there will be some changes to the landscape here at Gillette Stadium. You know, for people who haven't been here since last season, when you get here for the first regular season game or preseason, it'll look a little different.
A new field turf in for this season?
Yeah, although it's already got a lot of use.
Yeah.
I mean, they've
had Monster Jam
on it.
Concerts.
It's like,
I still can't believe they hosted Monster Jam here.
Oh, man, that was awesome. I didn't actually go to the show, but I went to the rehearsal. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I just can't believe they would allow those big trucks on the field. But
it actually, someone was telling me it actually helped the turf. Because of all the weight, it's helping it, like, set in.
Is that what they told him?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it makes sense, doesn't it?
I got some oceanfront property in Arizona I can
guess
tell you.
It packs it down, but yeah. I don't know. All right. All right. So we want to talk about anything that's on people's mind. This is the off season. We all talk about anything all the time, but especially in the off season.
Right.
So if it has to do with the Patriots, I know there's been a lot of talk lately of the decline of Tom Brady. We've talked about it ad nauseum on this show. Eric thinks that it's inevitable. When you get older, you decline. And I asked him, well, was he better when he was 28 than he was 22? And of course he was. So age doesn't always mean decline.
Well, no, but at a certain age, it goes the other way.
Right. The decline will always happen at some point. The question is when. And the question is, if you think Brady did not play as well as he has in the past last year, is the reason because of his own decline, or is it because of things around him?
Yeah.
So that's definitely not. So I'm just throwing that on the table. You don't have to jump in right now.
Okay.
Yet, you know.
Okay.
So we're talking about
Sorry,
that.
Sorry, hold me back.
Yep. I'm just laying the table, as they say.
Yeah. Gotcha.
We're talking about that. We're talking about depth of the team. A lot of listeners and readers to PFW have expressed concerns about depth in certain areas, particularly linebacker seems to be a place of depth and quality at wide receiver. You know, there's a lot of ifs. Everything works out. Things will be great. But, you know, we haven't seen any indication that it will yet. So there's cause for concern there.
Without question.
There's cause for the concern. Otherwise, I think we've also made the statement on this show that if things work out on defense, meaning mostly health and the emergence of Jamie Collins and the continued progression of guys like Chandler Jones, they could have the best defense since the Super Bowl winning years on this team.
Yeah.
Let's not forget, though, the defense during those years had, I mean, for part of it, three first-round draft picks lining up across its front, with Vince in the middle at the end of this, you know, for the last Super Bowl, and Ty Warren, who was, what, the 13th pick in the draft, and Richard Seymour, who was the 6th pick in the draft. I mean, that was as good a defensive line as there was in football at that time.
Yep.
So let's not go crazy with comparisons to that, because that's a critical aspect. Your defense closest to the football.
They have. Well, I mean, but they've also, I think, and sorry, I just want to get, we've talked about that. I think the defense has changed since then. They were more of a 3-4 technique team. I think they've recognized that we don't have Richard Seymour, Ty Warren, and Vince Wilfork in his prime. We're going to go more to a 4-3. So I think when you're talking about that part of the defense, you need to talk front seven as a whole. I don't think it's fair to just compare the lines. Go ahead, Jack.
I think it's ignorant to try and compare a defense that we haven't even seen really work yet to the defenses of that era. But, you know, can they be better
than
20? Just
call me ignorant.
Can we? No,
she's
I'm
not
just
the
saying,
first
like,
person.
Ignorant.
Somebody else.
No, but I mean,
was in a bar once when a famous play-by-play guy called you ignorant.
No, but I mean, like, theoretically, I guess they could be, but it's ignorant to make that kind of assumption right now, don't you think? Can they be better than 26th in the league?
At least it's not a fair comparison.
Okay, but wait.
Yeah.
Who do they have?
Who do they have?
Yeah, like, tell me who the defensive your starting front four is.
Probably
we could have said the same thing.
Tommy Kelly, Vince
receiver.
Wilfork, Chandler Jones, and probably Ninkovich on the other end.
Okay, so two kind of swing 4-3 linebackers, 3-4 ends. Okay, and two guys coming off season-ending injuries.
Right,
and then after that, you're back to Chris Jones,
Joe Valano.
Wait
a minute. I'm going to fly off the handle,
Fred.
Don't forget
they brought in the other guy too. What's his name?
The one I can't pronounce?
No, I forget. Well,
easily.
Salinga. And actually, Salinga at the end of the year stole the job from Chris Jones and Valano. He played better than them.
Okay, but you say you can't compare it. I absolutely can compare it.
No.
It's not even close.
They're not the same types of players. Those guys were 3-4 players. These guys are now 4-3. So you need to talk about that part of the
Richard Seymour could play in any front. Vince Wilfork could play
Absolutely. In
any front, and so could Ty Warren.
But don't talk about the defense individually anymore. You have to talk about the front seven as a whole.
See, I don't agree.
Okay.
I think the front seven as a whole is important, but it starts closest to the football. And if you want to talk front seven, let's talk front seven. Yeah. Well, you just talked about depth at linebacker. I mean, Jamie Collins emerged at the end of last season.
Right.
Played well in the playoffs. He's a linebacker who can run, which they haven't had.
Right.
So we'll give him that. Mayo, coming off a season-ending injury.
He's fine.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about that.
He's fine.
Hightower. Has Hightower been great?
No. Nice. I think he's been better than the guys here give him credit for, but he hasn't been great. Certainly.
I think he played his best football at the end of last season.
Right.
Isn't that what you want?
Before that, I thought he was a guy who didn't know his play to the whistle.
Well, I think he was a guy learning, and I think that he's been thrust into different situations here because of injury. And I think he even said that, you know, I'm really starting to get it now. I'm starting to feel more comfortable.
Well, what you say and what you do, I think, are two different things.
Absolutely.
So I think the front seven has a lot of questions.
You know, they brought in James Anderson, who, you know, he's a 100-tackle guy. Mm-hmm. Productive guy, not a big playmaker. Not, you know, he wouldn't be available if he was that good. But
where do you put Easley in this front? I mean, you know, is he going to play?
See, I'm not even counting him yet, but he could be a contributor. And I think a lot of people, when they say about the what ifs, if everything works out, this could be the best defense since 04. I think they're looking at guys like Easley contributing, guys like Jamie Collins taking the next step, guys like Chandler Jones taking the next step.
I just think in your front seven, you have a lot of question marks.
Sure.
You have three guys who play up the middle, which is an important area, kind of like baseball. You got to be strong up the middle. You got to have.
Is it as important as it was in 03, 04?
Sure. If you can run the ball up the middle on teams, you're done.
Okay, so you would get into a big argument on this show if the other guys were here, because they're saying even since then, in the last 10 years,
it's a passing game.
The game has changed. It's more, you need more speed on defense than bulk.
I think you need speed. No question about it. I think you need speed at linebacker, especially because you have to be able to cover backs. And listen, I've talked to Dante Hightower about covering backs, and he jokes about how he needs Vince to give the guy a little chicken wing coming through so he can stay with him because he can't run with them. So I think that's very important. You take away that check down guy for a quarterback, and that maybe allows your pressure to get there. If the quarterback has that outlet, if your secondary's done a good job, then it doesn't matter because he can dump the ball off and you don't get to the quarterback.
Now, here's where I'll agree with you. If an offense senses a weakness in run defense, they will run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And they will keep running the ball until you stop them.
And then you bring an eighth guy in the box, and now you're susceptible.
And then you saw that last year when Kelly went out and when Wilfork went out, right at that, you know, the game's, you know, immediately preceding after those, they had trouble stopping the run. But then they shored that up. They got better at it, and teams had to go back to passing. But, you know, did they do it at the sacrifice of, you know, pass defense?
We're talking about a team that went 12-4.
Right.
And went to the AFC Championship game. It's not, we're talking at a, it's relative.
It's very micro level here.
Right. And should be, frankly, because we're trying to get past the AFC Championship game, which is where they were last year. So if you look at the team that left the field last year, does the team that we currently have better potential to be a better defense? I would say yes.
Yeah. I would say yes, but I would still hesitate because it's like...
We don't know.
Yeah.
But I would say the potential is there.
Even during training camp, you can't really tell.
So you lost your top corner.
I mean, y'all remember Zach
Sudfeld, Darrell Revis.
A better corner.
I would think so.
Yeah.
I would like to think so.
Oh, yeah.
So, and you went and got Browner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So your safeties are McCourty and Harmon?
At this point, you would have to, if we were to pencil in a depth chart, Harmon would get the starting spot now.
I think that's a fair
with
assessment.
Logan Ryan as your nickelback?
Yeah, with Dennard maybe.
Dennard, okay. Yeah. So I think your secondary has the potential to be solid, if not better than that.
Yeah.
The front seven, I think.
Yeah,
we got to see.
No, and
Chandler Jones is he what he's been,
and that's
or is he going to get better?
I think he could have a huge year.
I think. See, and here's another reason why I say when you look at the defense, you have to look at the front seven as a whole. Chandler Jones, they've been moving him around. Last year, they moved him inside. They moved him outside.
How many sacks did he have?
He had like
11 and a half last year, something like that.
He was way up there.
He had 11 and a half. Don't go by sacks. That's very misleading. You know,
I agree.
The Patriots did not pressure the quarterback consistently enough in the spots they needed to last year. That's a fact. A lot of the sacks were, you know, garbage or whatever. So don't look at just the sacks. We all agree on this show anyway that the Patriots need to have more consistent pressure on quarterbacks. So looking at the front seven, they moved Chandler Jones a lot. They had him doing stunts inside with guys. Ninkovich has versatility. I think we're seeing Jamie Collins with some versatility, at least early on. Mayo can move around. You're never going to see the same alignment game to game. Rarely are you going to see it. It's all going to depend on who they're going up against. And I think Belichick and Matt Patricia has constructed a team for 2014 that has the versatility to do that. So I don't think it's fair to say they're going to line up and just do what they do like they did in 03-04 when they had guys like Seymour and Wilfork in his prime.
When they were good enough to do that.
Exactly.
Okay, so we acknowledge that they're not good enough to do that.
Not in a 3-4, no.
Or in a 4-3.
Well, I think
they have to get creative.
I think Wilfork and Kelly can hold their own in the middle.
I do too.
I do.
I would think if they're healthy that they could too.
But in order
they're both solid, strong, powerful players.
But in order to do well what they haven't.
But they're not pass rushers.
Yeah, in order to do well what they haven't recently, which is coverage, in especially on third down in the middle of the field and on the edge, you know, pass rushing, they're going to have to get creative. And they realize that we need guys that can do different things, take advantage of the weaknesses of the offense rather than let offenses take advantage of our weaknesses. And I think they're going to be able to do that this year.
I think
and part of it is because of the strength in the defensive backfield.
And if Easley has two healthy knees and can play in nickel situations, say by the end of September, I don't know when his what his recovery schedule is, but I think that's a guy that can rush the passer from the inside in nickel situations.
And I think he's another guy that can go inside or outside.
I think he's
got versatility. So, and notice, but I'm not even figuring him in yet.
I'm thinking he could have a Warren Sapp type impact as a pass rusher.
I don't know what kind of, you know, contribution he's going to make early on, particularly. So I'm not factoring him in yet in what
I think. And Browner's out the first four.
Browner's out the first four games. But I think you've got some depth there where I'm comfortable having Revis on one side and Dennard on the other with Arrington as my slot guy. Arrington is a good slot guy. I see you shaking your head, Brian. A lot of people on this show agree that he's overpaid and not that good. But I think he's paid to be that guy.
Well,
that
he gets
plays
exposed
slot.
On the outside. Maybe on the slot he can.
Because of injury, he gets exposed. This year he won't be because Dennard's going to be the guy that when Browner gets hurt or when Revis gets dinged up, you know, knock on wood, he won't. It'll be Dennard coming in instead of Arrington. Arrington can stay in that sort of slot area.
The problem, you mentioned the AFC Championship game and Patriots defense on the inside. I mean, the problem with the Broncos in the AFC Championship game was not stopping the run. I mean, they killed them in the passing game.
Oh, no, I know.
I'm more interested. I'm not as much worried about the defensive line. I'm really interested to see the secondary. That's going to be like the most fascinating part.
There's no question that their inability to pressure quarterbacks was as big a problem as any they had. My point with the run is everyone likes to say it's not a running game anymore. It's a running game if you can't stop it. And I think that, we have quarterbacks like Peyton Manning, Tom Brady. When you have guys like that, you're definitely a pass-first team. I think over the years back when they were winning Super Bowls, the Colts were still that. They had Edgerrin James. They were still a pass-first team because of the guy at quarterback. And I think the Patriots were always able to, especially in the postseason, when the weather was not conducive to that style of play, were always able to take advantage of that. Well, they knew when there was a big play on the line that the ball would be in Manning's hand and not Edgerrin James' hand. And I think with the talent they had and with Bill coaching the team, they were able to exploit that.
And I think that's the way the Patriots have been exploited. I think
absolutely.
If you know, to me, the biggest difference between not winning the Super Bowl and winning it back in 03, 04 was the defense that Brady could fall back on. Mm-hmm. When they got a lead, you didn't have to keep passing. You could hold on to the ball. You could play that possession game.
You could run the ball with Corey Dillon.
Right, and they shut down teams. I think that this year, if they had that same defense, they could have run the ball with Brandon Bolden, Stephen Ridley, and Shane Vereen. I don't think that's the key. I think the key is the defense. The Patriots have been pretty good at, in the red zone, and they haven't fallen apart in terms of points allowed, but teams haven't had to score that many points to win anymore like they used to.
Well, and I think that third down defense, to get back to the pass rush, has been a major problem over
Right, getting off the field.
For the last few years.
Yeah. Getting off
the field. I don't know the numbers, but it's been significant.
They've done pretty well. A couple years ago, they had some rough time early on in the season, red zone defense, and they shored that up.
That was...
They weren't terrible last year in red zone defense. They do better when the field shortens and there's less field to defend. But when the field's wide open, because of speed, and they haven't been able to do it.
And red zone offense last year became a problem.
Now, we saw a vast improvement in that early last year when everybody was healthy. But they were playing. They didn't play a quarterback until, I think, the fifth or sixth game of the season. So, you know, that's still to be determined if when guys are healthy and they go up against the better quarterbacks, can they get off the field on third down? We still don't know the answer to that. On paper, it looks like they should be able to be better this year.
Yeah,
I think if they're healthy. I mean, they definitely upgraded the secondary.
Yep,
without question. I mean, both guys. I mean, you got a physical presence with Browner, who gives you some versatility probably in some sub situations. You may move him into the middle of the field. Okay, I think Revis, if you know, he's not getting younger, but assuming he still plays at a high level and is better than Tlaib.
Right.
Then you've upgraded there, which makes Dennard your number three guy. I think, you know, so that's great. Collins' emergence. Is Chandler Jones going to continue to get better? So if you make some positive assumptions, then yeah, they could be good on defense.
But every team's
not great, but very good.
Every team's doing what we're doing
Of course.
You know, every team is doing what we're doing, except for maybe San Francisco and Seattle, which already had it in place, and they really haven't lost anyone.
Now, on the other side of the ball, you talked about Brady's decline. Okay, is that's been a big topic on your show, Brady's decline?
Yeah, debating whether or not he is declining.
What do you think?
I say he hasn't. His play hasn't declined because of his physical ability.
No,
you know, where maybe you know he can't run like you know he never was a good runner, but maybe where he's lost a little mobility, he's gained an intelligence in just understanding the game every year that much better.
I think
the one place he needs to improve, and it's not tied to physical, it's a mental thing. He needs to stop this thing where a guy drops the ball and he doesn't look at him for the rest of the season. He's got to stop that. He's got to just keep going to guys.
Okay, but wait a minute. So let me just pose a question to you. When did Dan Marino decline?
After his Achilles.
Why? He was never he couldn't run.
No, but I think
he lost his mobility within the pocket.
Yeah, and I don't think Brady has.
Oh, I definitely think he's lost some.
I know.
He ducks and covers. He never used to do that.
That has nothing to do with mobility. That's a mental thing.
But he never. So that's he's declined a little. That doesn't mean he's not great, Fred.
No.
I wouldn't want any other quarterback.
We've had that conversation, but okay. So do you think that
I'm not worried about him.
Whatever level of player he's, whatever level of play that you think he's lost, how whatever minute it is or big it is, do you think that's the reason why they haven't won a Super Bowl in the last 5 years? Because of his play?
Well, we're gonna pick on the best player.
Well, this is what I'm saying.
That's the best player. But did he play great in those games? Like he played in Super Bowl 38?
Yeah. You really think that the problem in Denver was his lack of mobility in the pocket?
I think the problem in Denver was better than the Patriots.
Well, okay. That's what I'm saying. So, I mean, this focus that people are having on Brady's play, he is not the problem.
Listen, Brady.
He is the reason why they're there every year.
Why they can do it
you
with
lose
the
him,
defense.
And then you got a problem.
Right.
He's been the reason that they can go 12-4 with a defense that's not great.
Yeah.
There's no question about that. Now, last year's 12-4 was awfully fragile. I mean, listen.
I say the opposite.
You went listen,
despite
Fred,
despite the injuries, they were 12-4.
That's true. Okay, I'll give you that. Uh-oh. However,
he's got his boxing gloves on, Brian.
And listen, this is one of those things where if Coach Belichick was sitting across from me, he'd put his gloves on with Fred. Because I asked him a question in Houston many years ago. Do you feel like you got away with one today?
I
thought he was going to rip my head off.
In November, December, we were saying if the Patriots get to the Super Bowl, this could be Belichick's greatest coaching
absolutely.
Year ever.
I think it's still one of
without
the best
question.
So with all that, they still did that well.
But it started in week one.
You don't know what you're talking
about. They had no right winning the Saints game. No right.
I don't think that at all. I think they earned that.
You're telling me that every Super Bowl
they needed three tries.
You're telling me that every Super Bowl season, which we're considering great seasons, they didn't have games that they kind of pulled out of their
ass.
But
they had six last year, Fred.
But that's
six
like
of them.
Beauty. That's one of and the best things about football,
to them.
Though.
That's a credit to them. However, you know, that's a play here or there. Just like the two Super Bowls they lost.
Yeah.
Okay?
And I think that's what separates
the ball,
the winning teams
Samuel
from the other
the ball, they
when
win.
When it's a close right. game, the good teams win them and the other teams don't.
Okay. But they were fragile. They teetered. They teetered, Fred.
There's
that's
no
all
posting.
I'm saying. I'm not trying to take credit away. I think the Saints game was the most... They were lucky in that game.
I don't think they were lucky.
I mean, Cleveland, they recovered an onside kick for the first time in 15 years or 18 years or whatever it was. I mean, come on.
Those things happen. And, you know.
Okay. I'm going to play the role of Paul Perillo here.
Was 2001 a fragile year?
Of course.
Of course it was.
Of course it was.
You know?
And they won the Super Bowl. No apologies.
I would say in 2003, you look at a Super Bowl winning year. Look at the scores of those games. It's not like Patriots were blowing teams out. It's because they had such a solid defense that when they got a 7-8 point
they
lead.
They won games 12-0.
Right. The game was over.
Right.
Once they got that 2-score lead, it was done. It was because of the defense. I'm telling you, you play consistent defense throughout the season this year and take a little pressure off Tom Brady in the offense, and you're going to see what you have seen.
I'd have
past.
To go back and look at the play-by-play from the Saints game, but I would argue that they won that game because of the defense. I mean, they got the ball with like 3 minutes to go down and punted. They got it back again and punted and still managed to get the ball back again and put the game and win the game on
and
a last
second touchdown.
And that's
the kind of team that they had when they won Super Bowls.
I would argue back then that Tom Brady would have scored a touchdown the first time they had the ball. But again, that's not Tom Brady. He didn't have the reliable targets that he had back then.
I mean,
whether you're talking about Troy Brown,
into that yet.
David Patton, Deion Branch, David Givens, hardly a Pro Football Hall of Fame caliber list of receivers, but solid, dependable
guys. Well, they were
guys
that Brady trusted, and that's the problem right now is, I think, and if there's one criticism I have of Brady, that's the biggest one I have of him. It's just you got to stick with it. Don't ostracize guys because they drop balls or run the wrong.
I think it's more of what you were just going to say more than drop balls. I mean, Tom Brady throws balls to the other team, too. I mean, they all make mistakes.
He's always done that.
My point is they all make mistakes, but you have to know what you're doing mentally for Tom Brady to develop a trust in you.
Yeah. One of the worst things that happened to fans around here was 07. Because all of a sudden Brady became Peyton Manning in terms of numbers. He was never that type of quarterback. You know, if you look at touchdowns and interceptions and yards passing, he was, you know, one of the best, obviously, but never.
He was closer to Troy Aikman than Peyton Manning.
Never 4,500, close to 5,000 yards and, you know, 50 touchdowns.
It was rare when Troy Aikman threw for 300 yards.
Right.
In Dallas's run.
You know, it became such that. If he didn't do that, then the team couldn't win, and we have to get back to a more balanced team. You know, and I'm not talking running passing. I'm talking about offense, defense.
I'm talking about running passing, too.
I think you
expose your quarterback a lot more.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that as much as when we get a lead, let's, you know, shut them down, and let's get off the field on third down.
The problem with the running game last year was ball security.
Well, it was. Yeah. And it wasn't just Ridley, either.
No, Blount fumbled.
Just as many times as Ridley.
Blount, whatever you say it.
So, yeah, that's an issue.
He's a Steeler now, right?
Yeah.
That was an issue. All right, web radio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Emails are coming in as well as the calls. Let's go to Justin in Virginia on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Justin.
Hey, I want to propose a new way to do the draft and talk about the rookie Gallon.
Okay, so new way to do the draft and you want to talk about Gallon. Go ahead.
Yeah. I think the draft should only have 5 rounds, and you can't pick a quarterback till the 3rd round. And the 1st round is inverted, meaning the best record is first and the worst record is last.
Yeah, that – no way.
No,
the agents would –
Wait,
the
let him
agents
finish.
Would,
hey, let him finish.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm just saying agents would not allow quarterbacks to not be taken in the 1st round because that's where you make your money.
What's the – why do you suggest that?
Wait, let me finish.
Okay, go ahead.
And all the other rounds are ordered normally. But in the second round, everyone gets three picks. So, like, Houston would have 32, 33, 34, and 35 in a row. Because this year they would have had the last pick of the first round. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay. Why so, though? What?
But then you're allowing the team that won the Super Bowl.
I'm going to give all my reasons, too.
Okay, go ahead.
So this way, the best teams like us can get the top-end talent to help our team. The worst teams have high overall picks in the second round. You know how I said they get three picks in a row?
Yep.
In the second round? And, like, Houston would have four picks, quintessentially four, like, some of the highest picks you can have. And that allows them to, like, because the worst teams to me, they don't need one great guy.
No, I know.
They need a bunch of productive players.
But in your scenario, in the second round, if you're the last team to pick in the second round, 96 guys would have just been taken in front of you.
No, but you would have the first pick in the draft.
Yeah, you would have the first pick.
If you're the, I'm talking about if you're the last team to pick in a round.
But what he's saying is, the first round is inverted.
Oh,
so the team that won the Super Bowl picks first, and then they pick last in the second round. So they get the first pick, and then they get three guys at 64, 60, or 60, whatever.
So what are your reasons for doing this? You just think that what?
He just said.
Yeah.
Another reason would be, like, it wouldn't motivate tanking, like you were saying, around the draft era. And when the, like, quarterbacks get taken late, it preps up, like, draft. Like, people will want to actually watch the third day of the draft because the quarterbacks will be taken late.
The only thing – listen, I think it's not going to happen. The quarterback issue would be one that I think is when you talk about a team needing one player, a lot of times at the top of the draft, that's the player they need. So by having the first pick in the draft, second pick in the draft, that's where they're hoping to get their quarterback. Now, if you're talking about going to the third round to get a quarterback, you know, now it's more of a crapshoot where you pick.
Right. All right, Justin, thanks for the call. This all started because I said, you know, let's do some form of lottery for the draft. Let's make it more exciting. Let's avoid teams tanking.
The NBA lottery is horrible.
Well, I'm not saying it has to be like that. My first suggestion was everybody's in the lottery, all 32 teams. And the day before the draft, you don't know who you're picking until they pick your name out of a hat, all 32 teams.
Oh.
I don't think they need to change the draft. Although that's a pretty extreme change that he wants to make. Forget the quarterback
thing. Oh, yeah.
But it does make some sense. If you're the team that struggles and goes 4-12 or whatever, 2-14, and you get picks 32, 33, 34, and 35, you have a better chance to probably improve your team than
value.
You do if you have number one. But then you allow the team that won the Super Bowl to get number one.
Right. Except you can't get a quarterback. Right?
Yeah, that would...
I don't know. I think there's no way that would
maybe
happen.
You do the lottery for the third round.
Yeah, I'm just... yeah, I just...
Or in the third round, it goes back to...
The problem with the way they do it is there's no guarantee that the worst team by picking high improves their team. And it's shown that way.
Right.
Other than the Manning, Eli, or Peyton,
but
the last quarterback taken first overall to win a Super Bowl was who? Do you know?
Other than
a guy named Manning.
Well, Eli wasn't taken number one, was he?
He didn't want to be. But... The last player before Manning to be taken overall, and then that team won a Super Bowl.
Before Manning. Yeah. Aikman.
It's true. Aikman.
Oh, really? Yeah.
In 1983.
83? No.
Wow.
Or 89.
89, was it?
Something like that.
I don't know. Anyway.
It wasn't 83. There's
been a lot of quarterbacks taken, you know, high, and those teams don't always win. There's no guaranteed success. So, you know.
Well, but there's a lot of ways to improve your team, and I would argue this. You know, we talk about post-salary cap, you know, like the Giants of the 80s, they got to stay together, right? They had that defense together for a long time, the Redskins in that same era, the Bears. But it was still about personnel evaluation. You know, it's always been about that. The fact that we have teams that year in and year out struggle despite having high picks year after year, well, that's because they don't do a good job picking guys.
Right, and these guys, you know... And then a lot of times, you know, players get stuck on these crummy teams and, you know, their careers just flounder because they weren't put in a position to win. And I just don't think, I don't know, I think it's more fair to have every team have a shot at every player, you know?
I don't know. I think the way they do it is the best way.
Yeah,
you
what,
just have
I
to
mean,
pick the best players.
The only thing that gets kind of annoying about it is the last day. Is it just, it's kind of boring, but.
Well, I think.
That's where. Yeah,
yeah but I'm mean, talking about for the teams. I'm not worried about the fans.
Well, now they're thinking about making it four days long. You
yeah,
know,
that's
the draft.
A little long.
It's just
selling more commercials.
Yeah, I mean, if you and the reason, and, you know, if they're looking for TV ratings and more people to be excited about the draft, do it my way. You know, where the day before the draft, as a fan, you don't even know where your team's picking.
Yeah, but that's
until
still going to keep the interest only in the first round.
Not necessarily.
Because once players start coming off the board, like every 12 seconds, you don't even know who they are. That's the point with the later rounds.
No, I think the point.
Like, hey, Fred Kirsch just got picked in the seventh round. Who?
Well, that's going to happen.
Let's
no matter
the
what.
Let's take the local guy.
That's going to happen no matter what. Yeah.
So exactly. So I think the way they do it is probably the best for the teams. You just have to pick the right guy.
Yeah, I have no issues with the way they do it now.
The problem with it is, and they've tried to change this with the rookie pool and the rookie salary cap, is that you invest so much money in that first round guy that if he doesn't work out, it hampers you for 3 years.
Right.
Because now you've got guaranteed bonus money on your books that you can't cut a guy because you have to eat that money.
Right.
And so it, not only does it hurt you that the player wasn't good, it hurts you financially from improving down the line.
Yep. I mean, you have to invest in your scouting.
You have to.
I mean, there were, you know, Cincinnati Bengals are the team that everyone points at. For a while, at the end of the season, they'd hand their coaches clipboards and say, okay, go scout.
But look at the Patriots. I mean, in the post-Super Bowl era, first-round pick on Brandon Merriweather.
Bad pick.
Who else? I mean, second,
Lawrence Maroney.
Second-round picks on Darius Butler. And
when Pete Carroll was here, they wasted one on Chris Canty, the cornerback.
I mean, there's been a number of first and second round picks. Now, they've had some real good ones.
Yep.
Gronk.
Right. I think Jerron Mayo was a solid first round pick. Vince Wilfork was a solid first round
pick. Vince Wilfork was an amazing first
round
pick.
They got the two tight ends before Gronk, Graham and Watson, who weren't great, but they were serviceable.
They were better than serviceable.
Yeah. You know, but
Graham was a terrific blocker, didn't have great hands.
Right.
Watson was a unique athletic talent who
could take advantage of his athleticism,
right.
I think.
Right, I agree.
Let's go back to the phone. Eldridge is on the line. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, Fred, how you doing?
Good. Say hello to Brian and Jackie.
Brian and Miss Jackie Britton?
Yeah, yep. It's like the old days, Brian and Jackie.
Yep, I see y'all sometimes. I play the podcast. I listen to y'all analysis. But Brian's about right, man. And the other guy that called, it ain't where you pick, it's who you pick, and who's doing the picking. And like I said before, Bill should turn in his GM hat on most of his draft picks. So he got particularly worse, if you ask me. Because you go after value, and like I said on the show a bunch of times, value picks only come in McDonald's and value meals. It's the only time he's been there.
See,
you know, there's nothing else.
Eldridge still thinks we should bring back Randy Moss. So
I don't think that, but what I'm thinking is you should get one particular.
I know.
But you don't. You know what I'm saying? But like I said before, and I know everybody gets mad at me saying this all the time. I don't care. But until everybody realizes, I don't want to be the 90 Bills or the 70 Vikings. You know what I mean by that? You get there, you win close, and you win them, but you don't win the big one.
But here's the thing. I think that the NFL is as much a battle of attrition as it is talent.
Right.
Okay, so you have to be able to sustain injuries and overcome them. The strength of that 0-3, as an example team, when they lost Ted Washington to a broken bone early in the season, Ted Johnson to a broken bone early in the season, Mike Vrabel to a broken bone early in the season, was the fact that they were able to sustain those injuries and still play at a high competitive level until those guys got back before the playoffs and put them back at Super Bowl level.
Do you think they did that this year?
Yes, again,
to a degree.
I mean, am I right? That kind of personnel evaluation, am I right?
Yes, but I don't think it's necessarily about going out to get the one guy. Like everyone wants that star power. I think there's a lot to be said for value.
What happens, when that star goes down?
Yeah, like I want to see what happens to Clowney.
Yeah, if it's valued that. Like right now, just like you're saying in secondary earlier, Ayrton, to me, is just a waste at $16 million. you should get 15 back and some change. And not because he got injured this year, Fred. He's been like that for the last 5 years.
But Arrington is not the reason why they weren't able to get other guys on defense. I mean, they've got Arrington.
No, but his point is that the fact that Arrington is on your defense means you haven't gotten other guys that were better than him.
No. The fact is that Arrington was thrust into positions where he wasn't good at. If he was able to stay where, you know, in that slot, he'd be fine. We wouldn't be talking about Arrington right now. You know, that's...
It ain't only Arrington, man. Like I said. Like right now, they're going to overplay McCourty.
Name me the team that goes 4 or 5 deep in cornerbacks. There's none.
Yeah.
There are
none.
That's
true.
It's just...
No, you go 4 or 5 deep. No, it ain't none to go 4 or 5 deep. But it is something to go 3 that you can base.
And right now, this year, we are 3. You know, we've got Revis, we've got Browner, we've got Dennard, before we even need to get to Arrington. And that's where Arrington should be.
And I think Logan Ryan's better than Arrington.
He could be. I don't know if he is right now. I'm not ready to
certainly
say
on
that.
The outside.
You know, he's a little bit more aggressive, for sure.
Yeah, but like I said before, I don't know. I keep watching, and I keep seeing, I go back and watch some of the old games. But I got nothing to do most of the time when I'm riding around, but I'm sitting right here. And I just watch, and I see the same pattern for the last couple years. The inside guys get beat by inside floor receivers, double move, Arrington and Ryan, and get a toast.
I think part of the problem has been their speed at linebacker.
Thanks
in some of those situations. When you go out and play, say, a cover two, where you need your linebackers to be able to cover and get some depth, but also be able to come up and hit that running back or that check down receiver right away. You look at the Ravens defenses when they've been real good, when Ray Lewis was there. You know, if a back caught the ball underneath them, they were right on them. There was no yards after the catch on those plays. And I think that's where the Patriots defense has been very vulnerable. You know, your linebackers have had to drop to such depths to be able to cover the deep middle of the field with your safeties covering the deep halves that they haven't been able to control that short middle of the field at all.
Let's go to some of the emails at webradio@patriots.com. Tony writes in, getting off the field on third down, he says, as part of getting off the field on third down, have the Patriots solved a major problem they had in which their linebackers could not cover running backs out of the backfield and tight ends down the field? Is Anderson enough? I don't think so. We never got to see last year whether or not they could. Now, Brandon Spikes is out of the equation. Right.
Yeah.
He could not cover, period. Yeah, he was a liability on obvious passing downs. You took him off the field. He has been essentially replaced with Jamie Collins. I know they're not the same player, but now you move Mayo back in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way it looks like it might be. Mayo in the middle, Hightower on the outside with Jamie Collins in a 4-3. You might be better, you know, this year than you have been.
Let's not go crazy.
I'm going crazy.
Running backs are supposed to be faster than linebackers.
Yeah, right,
right.
They're hard to cover out of the backfield. You need to chip them or do something to slow them down. Or it's a read play where you have to know the angle and you know you're kind of running that way.
I like Jamie Collins before. A lot better than Brandon Spikes.
Well, for what he can do now,
yeah,
as a pure
more...
run stuffer, I love Brandon Spikes.
Yeah, well,
but
Collins
was a flash
is more athletic,
player.
But...
He was a flash player.
He was a guy who would shoot a gap and make a big play, but other than that, he was nondescript.
Yeah, I mean, he forced turnovers at
and
times.
And now he goes to Buffalo and he's talking trash.
I know.
Can't wait to play them.
Debbie writes in, she's from Tennessee. We haven't won the Super Bowl lately because we have no defense and Gronk is out with injury when we need him in the postseason. I wish people would lay off Brady. We will find out after he leaves or retires how valuable
Amen.
He was. Because to me, at that point, the Patriots will fall to a lower level and be less winning overall. You will realize how great Brady is when he's gone.
Okay.
So what's the question?
Does anyone not realize how great
he is? No question, just a statement.
Okay.
Does anyone not realize how great he is? He's a unanimous first ballot
Hall
of Fame
quarterback. I think there are definitely some fans who are a little spoiled.
Okay,
maybe.
So let's fast forward, say, 3 years and put him in the Dan Marino, Brett Favre category at the end of their careers. I would argue that those two players held their teams hostage from improving.
I agree, too.
So at what point... do you say
when you start to see indications of decline, like
right. So what? What is that? What was it for Marino? You said it was his Achilles. So it was mobility, or was he throwing the ball to the other team more?
Yeah, I think he was just forcing it. I think he wasn't willing to. And this could be the team
Favre too.
Yeah, I don't know what the inner workings of the Miami Dolphins were back then, but maybe they weren't willing to use the running game more.
You know the media, okay? No offense, Jackie.
It's all right.
The media will get on this. You can't do that to Tom Brady. Dan Marino. You can't bench Dan Marino. Yeah. You can't bench Brett Favre.
I think
Tom Brady.
I don't think it's a matter of benching. No, I think his mentality is he plays like he could get cut tomorrow, and I think that's what makes him so special.
And he doesn't care about numbers and throwing the ball.
Yeah, I think he plays with that true, genuine passion.
He just wants to win.
I would agree with that.
I mean, if every game could be,
6-3.
No, what's the guy Blunt in the mud? Running for 200 yards, he'd take it.
No, I agree with that. That's part of what makes him who he is.
I mean, I think if anything, bringing Garoppolo in here, I mean, I don't want to say gave him an edge, but I mean, he's a competitor. If anything, he could see that as an opportunity for him. Like, look, it could be me or it could be him out there. Now, we all know that's not going to happen,
and he remembers when it was Drew Bledsoe and it was Tom Brady.
And John Elway, at the end of his career, they finally got a running game going, and he was perfectly happy handing the ball off.
He never won until they did.
I'm just so annoyed with the Brady conversation. It's like,
I get annoyed with the, is he in the top 10? Is he elite? I don't care what people think.
All that matters is he good enough to win you a Super Bowl?
Right.
Yeah.
And he's still a great quarterback. Is he as great as he was at 28? No.
I mean,
he's not.
Were you as great as you were at 28, Brian?
I don't know.
I'm just kidding.
At what?
Wayne says, all this talk about Brady being in decline is ridiculous. Amen. He is the one year after year who carries his team to winning seasons. The real issue has been Belichick's managerial decisions, especially with regards to picking and acquiring quality talent. The value approach over quality has not worked for years. Hopefully this year's quality will be better with the addition of Revis. But where is the talent on offense once again besides Gronk? Looks to me like a repeat of last year. Is this a shame? It is a shame that Brady has not had good, talented receivers over his career, except brief stints here and there. Your thoughts, Wayne from Fitchburg.
Wait a minute.
I think that's a little harsh.
I think that you look at their receivers over the years. I mean,
that's a little harsh.
Yeah, back in 2001, he had two guys, Troy Brown and David Patton. That's it. I mean, that's it. Jermaine Wiggins, Kevin Falk out of the backfield. But Jermaine Wiggins was your tight end, who did okay at times, right? And you had Torrance Small and Charles Johnson as your third and fourth receivers, maybe? I mean, it was those, but they won a Super Bowl with that. When they had Givens, Branch, and Brown, they had three reliable, dependable, productive receivers. Nobody was complaining about his receiving core. Now, he didn't have Randy Moss back then, but those were three reliable, dependable guys who ran good routes and caught the football and could score touchdowns. Okay? 07, 08, I mean, Moss and Welker, I mean, come on. He's had good receivers. 06, he didn't.
It's been kind of a turning of the page.
Last year was, you know, you have to hope Aaron Dobson's going to evolve.
Yeah.
He's a second-year guy.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes it takes a rookie 2 to 3 years. Look at Eric Mould in Buffalo. He didn't do anything his first 2 years, really.
Right.
He became a star year three.
Paul will say that, you know, because I've said, you know, it is a tough position to immediately do really well. And he says, well, for the good ones, it isn't.
You know, there's some truth to that.
But how many good ones are there in that category? You know, and do the Patriots have the – are they in a position to pick them in the first round?
Here's the thing. I think that the coverages in college are generally a lot more vanilla. And I think the route running has to be a lot less precise. You can run to space in college and be open. You know, when you see the highlights of the top receivers getting drafted every year, it's always, you know, these amazing deep ball catches they make and blah, blah, blah. Well, that's not going to happen as much in the NFL. The corners are a lot better. The coverages are a lot different.
Yeah, I mean, it's a whole other level.
And I think that's really harsh. And the post-snap adjustments that you have to make.
It's just a lot more to think about.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's hard. And so, you know, it comes with experience a lot of times. Now, Paul's right. Randy Moss didn't need to make an adjustment as a rookie. Terry Glenn didn't need to make an adjustment as a rookie. I mean, those guys stepped in and were great. And look at Deion Branch. No one, I mean, when they picked him in the second round, was it? People were like, what? Who's Deion Branch? And he came in, and he got hurt his rookie year after four games or so, but he made an immediate impact because he came out of a pro-style system where route running was emphasized.
People have made the point his numbers were almost identical to Aaron Dobson's this year.
As a rookie? Oh, yeah, really? But he didn't play much.
As a rookie.
He played the first four games, caught a bunch of passes, yeah. and then went away.
But I would say that Dobson didn't do it in critical times like Branch did. It's just a matter of when they're making the plays. I don't think there's any comparison to Branch early on at Dobson. You know.
Branch was a polished route runner when he got here.
Sylvia in Seattle writes in, I write every once in a while, and you guys are pretty good about getting to my emails, but it seems like whenever I say something negative about Kyle Arrington's play, it doesn't get read on the show. Why is that? I know that if you guys could identify that Brandon Lloyd was a poop wide receiver, then you got to know that Kyle Toast Arrington is hands down the worst defensive back in the NFL.
Whoa.
Paul, you seem like the straight shooter of the show. Please tell me that you guys don't think that Arrington is a player. See, this is the whole thing. The worst defensive back in the NFL. Really?
I have no idea who the worst defensive back in the NFL is.
This is exactly.
I wouldn't say Arrington, though.
This is exactly an example of a Patriot fan, you know, has a microscope over his own team, but has no clue about what else is going on in the league. If you really think that Kyle Arrington is the worst defensive back in the NFL, you don't know what other teams have. You know?
I don't.
You know? It's really hard to have good quality depth at defensive back in this league. It's hard. You know, name me, you know, the top 10 safeties in the league. And I'm telling you, there's a big drop off after like the third or fourth.
Right.
It's just hard.
Yeah.
You know?
Listen, there's not many teams where you look around like the Steelers with Polamalu over the years or Bob Sanders in Indianapolis and all these guys where you say they had that Rodney Harrison here, that safety that was a difference maker. You know, you could – they run off your tongue, but then it's – boom, yeah. Who else?
There's a reason why this league is a passing league, and it's not because the defensive backfields are that great across the league. It's because, you know, the offenses have an advantage. You know, because
the rules make that too.
I was just going to say, whether it's the rules or the type of athletes coming out of college, and because college is less running now, so guys come out, you know, from passing offenses more than they used to. But the fact is, if defensive backs across the league were as good as our fans think they are, except for our team, other quarterbacks wouldn't be putting up these numbers either.
And listen, I think when you look at defense, it really is a team. You know, you have to have the pass rush with the second.
Yeah,
look at Seattle this year. Now, they have a good secondary, right? But they also have a lot of speed that they get to the quarterback. So it allows the defensive backs to play a different way. You know, I mean, look at Miami back when Madison and what's his name with their corners? Who was the other kid they had, Fred? Sam Madison on one side and...
Oh, I know who. Yeah, at Miami.
They had Jason Taylor and Zach Thomas. And, I mean, they had a good combination of rush versus coverage that made them very difficult. The 49ers have it. You know, the Patriots have lacked that.
All right. Food is here, so we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, a lot more emails coming in. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in this offseason. And, again, we apologize for the delay in the start of the show, but we're up and running now, and we're sprinting to 2 o'clock. But all your calls and emails when we come back.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown! Ha-ha!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown! Ha-ha!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
Story time with Fred Kirsch.
Well, we were talking about back in the day when the Patriots had more dual practices, and the Giants used to come quite a bit down at Bryant College where the Patriots used to have their training camp. So one day, the Giants were set to arrive, and at Bryant College, it would always be a Dell's truck set up. I love Dell's.
Frozen lemonade.
Yeah. It's like a Rhode Island, Southern Mass thing. You can't get it anywhere else. I don't know why. I would always get Dell's, you know, before practice, and one day, I decided, oh, you know what, I'm going to...
It's called slush anywhere else.
No. Dell's is different than slush. So I decided, okay, I'm going to buy all the PFW guys, all my guys, Dell's. So I go to the Dell's truck, and I get a tray of... I think I had like 9 cups of Dell's. Just as I'm walking back, the Giants arrive. So all the Giants are walking up the path, led by their head coach, Jim Fossil. As I'm walking by, I say to Coach, welcome to the Patriots training camp. While you're here, you got to have a Dell's. And I'm holding this tray. She goes, oh, great. And he starts taking them and giving them out to his coaches. So I'm like Kraft when Putin took the ring. What do you do? You know, oh, no, those aren't for you. So I let him take them, and I was out all that money. I had to go back and spend another $30.
That was Story Time with Fred Kirsch.
See what you get for trying to be an ambassador?
That's right.
Keep your head down and your mouth shut like I would have.
I could totally see where he... You know, the miscommunication was, so I just shut my mouth and let him take all my Dells. All right, back here in PFW in progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address.
I don't remember that story, Fred.
You don't?
I didn't listen to it.
I think you were one of the people I bought Dells for.
I would assume so.
Yeah. Robin Stoughton writes in. He says, I just wanted to point out some issues I had with your argument from last show. One, if Brady misses a pass to a wide-open receiver, it's always on Brady. See, this is they were saying that one of the indications of his decline is that he's missing more wide-open receivers than ever before, which I don't agree. Anyway, says Rob, are you freaking kidding me? The Patriots throw a lot of timing routes where Brady throws the ball where he expects the receiver to be. If a receiver runs too deep of a route or too shallow of a route or cuts in when he should have cut out, they're supposed to... They are not going to connect, even though Brady threw the ball where he's supposed to. You saw this a lot with Ocho Cinco, who ran wrong routes in lazy routes. Brady may be on a decline. I dispute that a bit. But to lay every incompletion where he throws to an open receiver that drops because he misses the receiver is just inaccurate. Well, in their defense, I don't think that's what they were saying.
And plus, you can't – so you assume that every time there's a Brady makes a bad throw that it was the receiver's fault?
Paul said that the 04 defense was better than the 2003 defense, even if the stats say otherwise. I don't think Paul could be any more wrong about that. The 2004 defense was great, but the secondary was held together with smoke and mirrors. The 03 defense was probably the best defense in Patriots history and probably one of the best top 20 defenses in NFL history. People forget how the defense had to carry the offense that season that was average at best. The defense pitched 3 shutouts that season against Dallas, Buffalo, and Miami, and had 2 other games where they allowed 6 points or less. The opposing passer rating against the Patriots that season was an abysmal 56.2. Yes, that is the entire season's passing rating. They gave up 11 passing touchdowns that season versus 29 interceptions. They only allowed 5.6 yards per pass attempt. They only allowed 3.6 rushing yards per attempt and 89.6 rushing yards per game. And let's not forget what Ty Law and the defense did to embarrass Peyton Manning in the AFC Championship game. 4 interceptions, 3 by Law. Yes, the defense fell apart in the Super Bowl, but that took game-ending injuries to Harrison and Wilson to make the defense break.
Well, they were hurt late in the game. I mean, Wilson gave up an 85-yard touchdown pass on the play he got hurt on.
Right.
But I listen, the 0-3 defense, he's right. They went like a certain amount of game. I don't remember the number of home games without allowing a touchdown. Starting with, I think, that game against the Giants when Matt Chatham returned the fumble for a touchdown, in the rain that day. in a quagmire, as they say. But the I think the 04 team was the best team, was the most complete team they had. Now, you talk about the secondary being held together in 04. They lost both Tyrone Poole and Ty Law that year to season-ending injuries. And Asante Samuel stepped up, and Randall Gay stepped up, and Troy Brown ended up as your nickelback. So he's right there, but yet those guys played well.
Yeah.
You know, Asante Samuel emerged that year. He was a second-year guy. Randall Gay, when healthy, was productive.
Was 04 the year that they went into St. Louis with, like, no secondary and won that game, and Vinatieri had the fake kick and threw the touchdown pass to Troy Brown?
I think so, yeah. Because... Well, Asante Samuel got hurt in that game, and Earthwind Moreland.
Right.
He came in and played.
I mean, they came into that Rams game, and no one really gave them a shot. They were, despite everything they had done to that point, big underdogs in that game.
But losing Law and Poole and overcoming that with Gay and Samuel was and both of those guys, Samuel obviously was a great player.
Lots of emails coming in, lots of calls. Let's go to Chris in Canada on the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Hey, how's it going, you guys?
Good, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
We were watching the World Cup the other day, and some old guy made a valid point. Why is there no Canadian team in the NFL?
I can't hear you. Yeah. What are you saying? Talk into the mic, please.
Sorry. You know, like, the NBA has, like, the Toronto Raptors, the MLB has the Blue Jays, and NHL has multiple Canadian teams. What's wrong with the NFL? Why no Canadian team?
Well, I mean, you know, right now you have 32 teams, so the only way you can have one is if you expanded the league or a team moved. That's why. I think they've looked at Toronto.
Plus, they have their own league.
You know, they have the CFL, but...
You know, it's an eight-man league. It's like, if you don't make the playoffs, it's like everyone got a trophy game, you got to skip.
Yeah, I mean, it's not
No,
the
it's
same
not
scale.
The same. They've looked at Toronto. You know, Buffalo's been playing there.
Right.
You know, it's one of the places that are targeted as a possible thing, but you know, it's not that easy. Like I said, you're either going to have to expand your league, or a team has to move from where they are, and you know, that's just not something that happens overnight. So, will Toronto eventually get it, or Canada eventually get a team? I think eventually they will. You know,
yeah, when London gets one.
If I was Trump. I know Donald Trump is thinking about buying the Bills. You know, I don't know how serious he is, but a guy like him, I'd buy the Bills and maybe even move them to Montreal on the other side of Niagara Falls, where the casinos are and everything like that, and that'd become a huge destination point.
Yeah,
you know,
that was about it. And also one last question: who do you think is going to start alongside Devin McCourty?
Well, we talked about that earlier. It's right now Daron Harmon has that job. Could it change? Yeah. But right now, as it stands, from what we've seen in the OTAs, Daron Harmon is your starting safety next to
McCourty. I'm comfortable with that.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think that Brandon Browner would react negatively to being moved to that spot? Because when they signed him, there was some speculation they could use him at safety because he's a bigger physical guy. And he said, no, I'm a corner. So
yeah, I remember that. I was like, wow, that's pretty
Who said that?
It's pretty ballsy to say.
No, but who said that you might move
to
safety?
I think there was just some media speculation.
Oh, okay, then I'm not paying any attention to that. he is a corner. That's what he does. You know, you don't move. The only time
I'm
you
sorry,
move,
what was Devin McCourty when he was drafted?
Yeah, but, you know.
I think he would have to be open to it.
I don't, not at this point.
I think you have to do what's best for your football team, don't you?
Yeah, but, I mean, you didn't bring in Brandon Browner to be
I mean, you're saying theoretically. I mean, crazier things have happened around here.
I think Logan Ryan has a better chance of playing safety than Brandon Browner.
Ooh, I don't know about that.
You know?
You'd have no physical presence at that position.
Do you really need it?
Yes.
I mean, I know Rodney Harrison says you need that enforcer back there and all
you
that.
You need a guy.
But nowadays, all that enforcer does is get penalties.
Okay, but it also puts fear in the receivers.
Yeah. I'd rather, you know, do that with good coverage.
Remember
than
Randy
a pass
Moss
rush.
Going across the middle? He didn't really like it in there.
He did it. That was an underrated part of his game. He was more than willing to go over the middle and make the tough catch.
He ran underneath coverages and caught balls on the run where he could catch and run with it. But he was not running in between the linebackers and the safeties, say, the way Rob Gronkowski does it.
Okay, well, you know, do you want him to?
No, but my point is he didn't want to.
Well,
I think that's just a waste to even talk about. Yeah. Browner is a safety.
You think it's a waste?
Yeah.
Let's go to Liam in North Carolina. Hey, Liam.
Hey, good afternoon, Fred.
What's up?
Hey, I got a question about the Patriots Football Daily app.
Okay.
Are you gonna get one made up for Windows Phone or Windows 8? I'd love to subscribe to it, but I hate Apple products and Android.
Yeah, so for like the Surface, you mean?
Either the Surface or Windows Phone.
Well, the problem with the Windows subscription, market isn't as easy to use as Apple. So, and the demand isn't there. So, you know, we'd be investing all this money to build this app that very few people will take advantage of. That's the problem.
You know? Fair enough. Well, I might have to just subscribe on my wife's phone then. She's got an iPhone, and
yeah,
I might have to just bite the bullet there.
See, I love my Apple products.
I can't stand them.
Why?
That's neither here.
Now, why? Are you just being stubborn?
I just don't like the fact you're locked into one form that they choose for you. I prefer having a little bit of choice and innovation.
Yeah, I guess so. But the innovation within the ecosystem, you can't deny it. I mean, the stuff that they bring to the table for Apple users, I think, makes up for the lack of form.
Yeah, and that's a whole other discussion, but just never been my thing.
Okay.
Always been a Windows guy.
I think you're being a little stubborn. I think you are.
Welcome to Tech Talk with Fred Kirsch.
There we go. Hey, and one other quick question, since it's off-season, not much else to talk about. I was just thinking, do you think will be more detrimental to the team? Because inevitably, we're going to lose people. The loss of Brady, Belichick, or Kraft? Personally, I think it's Kraft. I think you can find good quarterbacks and good coaches, but he seems to be a glue that holds the team together.
Let me look at the bottom right-hand corner of this piece of paper here. Yes, Kraft is the most important.
I agree 100%.
Absolutely. In all seriousness, you've got to have that solid ownership,
without question.
And that consistency, Bud Adams, not Bud Adams, but what's the owner for New Orleans?
I know who you mean. It's a B, isn't it?
Yeah, they were floundering until Sean Payton came in there and kind of righted that ship. The owner can be detrimental to a team, absolutely. And he doesn't have to be a meddling owner either. You need good, solid ownership to win in the NFL.
I mean, look at the teams that struggle on a consistent basis.
Yep.
The Patriots before Kraft.
Right. Look at the Raiders.
The Bengals. The Cardinals.
Right.
The Patriots before Kraft.
It's true.
I mean.
Yeah.
The Patriots were a joke before the
Kraft.
They were a joke.
I argue with Paul about this. I don't accept the whole window of opportunity argument.
I don't either.
Because I think you're trying to win every single year with the personnel that you have. I don't think you say, well, Tom Brady's going to be 37, so we have to go out and sign all these free agents now.
You could say the same thing about the Colts with Peyton Manning. Don't you think they have a new window of opportunity now with Andrew Luck?
You have to try to replace him.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Of course.
You just say, Tom Brady retired. We're going to stink now.
It's a new era, but you can have a new era, and it could be a good one. It doesn't have to be, you lost your quarterback, and now everything.
Right.
Get a new quarterback.
Not easy.
Not easy.
But teams do it.
Right.
I'd be worried, though, if I were if I were the Browns.
Now the Browns are a whole different situation.
I'd be a little.
You heard the latest with the Manziel. Now, I haven't heard any follow-up.
Don't get me
There was a picture of Manziel in the bathroom rolling up a 20 in a Las Vegas nightclub bathroom. I don't know.
It's all assumption, right?
Yeah, it is. But what else do you roll up 20s for? I don't know. It's just, why are you even doing that for fun? In a public place. It's just, it gets down to judgment.
Yeah.
And seriousness about, your life right now.
Right. And that's always leading by example.
Yeah.
Yeah, not what I would want out of my high draft pick.
No. What if your boss was doing that?
And they got Josh Gordon, who's probably not going to play all year.
Yeah, they're really not.
Poor Cleveland.
I think Brian Hoyer's going to be their quarterback.
He might. He
played well last year.
I felt really bad for him because he was playing well. They were winning, and then he gets hurt. It's I really did feel bad for him. And a little bit for the Browns, but mostly for him.
But I think, you look at Well, first of all, we have Tom Brady, right? And what do
yes,
you hear all
do.
The What do you hear all the time?
I can confirm that the Patriots have Tom Brady.
What do you hear all the time? Wow, they haven't won a Super Bowl since 2004. Well, somebody without Tom Brady's won the Super Bowl every year since 2004. Okay,
right.
So
it's not easy to do what
and
they're doing.
Peyton Manning's only won one.
Right.
I mean,
right. And I think anybody would want either one of those guys as the quarterback.
Right.
You know. Let's go to Dan in Virginia. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Fred. Hey, Jackie and Braun.
How you doing?
Hey.
Good. Appreciating the new and different energy that Jackie and Braun are bringing to the show today.
Sure.
Oh, are you English?
No, Australian.
Oh, Australian. All right.
Jackie's Georgian.
Right.
No, I get that a lot. I get that the Australians keep getting asked if they're English, and English keep getting asked if they're Australian.
So. I can hear you better now.
She's not chewing.
Yeah. Would you like me to wrestle a crocodile or something, Jackie? Would that help?
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Be careful, though.
As long as you can make a handbag after it for her.
You want a handbag?
How about some shoes?
What's the movie where he says, put another shrimp on the balmy?
Well, it's the whole Crocodile Dundee.
No, but this is like a recent
That's
movie.
That's just like a saying is what that is.
Right, but he said he's from Australia.
Okay.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
All right. Let the man speak.
Yes, go ahead.
I got a couple of questions, but first off, I just want to say to Brian that I visited the hall on Memorial Weekend.
Oh.
Up there, and you guys do a great job up there. I think when I came around that little corner to where the Lombardis are sitting, I could have almost sworn I heard the Angelic Harps playing. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
No, you do a great job of information, but also interactive displays and trying out different things. It's a really great facility. And just echoing the previous guy's comments about ownership living down here at the moment in the suburbs of D.C., you really get a comparison of what the other end of ownership looks like and the effect that that has on a team. So heartily endorse the job that Robert Kraft is doing. But two questions. Fred, have you ever considered doing a live podcast of the show? I was reading some different books and articles and interviews with guys who have done podcasts and then kind of decided they were going to take them on the road and didn't expect much, and then all of a sudden it turned out to be a huge thing. And, well, we know, PFW in Progress has followed all the way around the world, so... Have you ever considered doing a live podcast?
You mean on location?
Well, I don't know exactly how it would work. That's the question I keep coming up with.
Like a remote.
Would you do it during the day like you normally do, or would you do a special, PFW after dark kind of thing? But
So we were thinking about, it's still being thought about maybe in San Diego, because that week the Patriots are be going straight from Green Bay and spending the whole week in San Diego and to get ready for the game, and we were thinking maybe we would do this show live
that game.
In San Diego. So
might need to cover that game.
It's possible. It's possible.
I think that would be good. Fascination of psyching up for that one, Fred.
Yeah.
And the other question, so I'm glad to hear that you're considering it. The other question I have is, you were discussing earlier the differences in the defenses between the Super Bowl winning era and the more recent years, and there was a little sort of discussion of Tom's performance. I was a little curious. I think there's an argument that can be made that some people either put it on the defense or the offense for why they lost the Super Bowls. I think there's arguments for both sides having particular failings that led to those losses and also the losses in the AFC Championship games recently. You've discussed the defense. What about the offense? What does the offense need to do in general, not just Tom, but in general? What does the offense need to do to get over that hump and get back into the Super Bowl and hopefully win that Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think when you talk about offense, it has to get back to Brady just hitting the open guy and not, focusing on one guy or two guys. And in the way this team is constructed today, it also means that Gronk has to be involved in the game.
Yeah.
He has to be healthy. I mean, he is the star of this offense. We saw last year, even when he wasn't 100%, when he came back, all of a sudden, the Patriots were scoring in the 30s, like they rolled out of bed, just overnight. And it's because of Gronk.
And I remember a Vereen touchdown catch where three guys went to Gronk and Vereen was in the flat. And he just walked into the end zone.
Right.
All
but
because
the
of Gronk's
tight
presence.
Ends right. aren't yeah, used yeah. like they've been. The
On
past
this team,
seasons.
They are.
Been,
when you have Gronk, they should be.
Yeah. But you don't really have the duo threat. Really,
that other guy, too.
No, I know Hernandez. Look, that threw him for a loop last year. They were a tight end centric team. That's how they were going to win games, and they lost both of them. basically, you know, one for
yeah,
the,
I mean, I
know.
Think that they were dealing with guys having to be in the equation who weren't,
yeah,
or per, like, who weren't already planned to be part of the equation in the offense last year.
No question.
Yeah.
And I think when you look at the history here with the tight ends, Bill has always been looking for that the tight ends to make his system around, whether you go back to drafting Arthur Love and Jabari
well,
Holloway.
Well, he remembers Mark Bavaro back Bjornsson. From the Giants.
But it's also, yeah. It goes back to Detroit. I mean, they call that formation on the practice field Detroit from his days with the Lions, where they really sort of invented that formation, that two tight end formation, that they were the first ones to really use it. And I think Bill has been a big fan of that since. And when
it's
he had Hernandez and Gronk, exactly.
Football is a game of matchups. You know, you've got 11 distinct guys on either side of the ball, and if you can find a matchup that you can exploit, you can really take it to the bank. And tight ends are tough to match up with if
yeah.
they can catch and
but
block.
When you come out in a tight end, two tight end set, with your tight ends tight to the line of scrimmage and you're back in the backfield and two receivers, and all of a sudden Brady drops back from under center into the shotgun, and both of those tight ends motion to the slots, and now all of a sudden you're four wide with guys who can either run routes and catch the ball or block in the running game, I mean, you're very tough to defend. And I
right.
think that's what they missed last year with Gronk being out and obviously Hernandez being locked
right.
up.
Right, but I think with what we saw when Gronk was back, the offense was totally different. And
right,
they were
course.
Back to scoring 30, close to 40 points
biggest
a game.
Biggest target they have out there.
But that being said, I think the other – I'm sorry, Jack, go
no,
ahead.
No, go ahead.
I think the other thing was that at the end of games, if you go back to that Super Bowl era, I think at the end of games, they were able to win games with the ball more often, you know, with clock killing Corey Dillon. You know, they didn't – it seems like now they get into – they have a lead and it's a tight game and there might be 3 minutes to go or 2:40 to go or something like – and they need a first down to ice the game and they get into that third and four
yeah.
and they try to throw the ball to the sticks and it gets knocked down or they don't convert it. And now they got to give the ball back and try to win it on defense. And, you know, he asked about winning Super Bowls on offense or defense. Well, if you go back to the 07 team, the 18-1 team, I mean, they scored 30-something points a game and scored 14 in the Super Bowl. So it's
Seattle,
easy to say that it was the offense. But yet, with 2.5 minutes to go, you were in the lead.
Right.
So,
yeah.
defense.
I mean, that game, yeah, that yeah. game was, you know, you had to bring it up, but... You know, that was a combination of the offensive line just pooping their pants and I think just a really good game plan by the Giants. I look at the Giants' game plan to defend our offense a lot like what we had in 01. Now, you know.
They dominated on the front four. That's how
you know, their way of winning, they had a way to win. We had a way to win in 01. We were going to take Marshall Faulk out of the game. We were going to do certain things. They had a way to win in 07, the Giants, where it was, we've got to get in Brady's face, you know.
Well,
and
they
were able to
four.
Do that. They were able to do that with without you know blitzing and all that stuff. And we I don't know if we just didn't make adjustments or what, but we had no answer for it.
But even in 2011, you could make the same kind of argument. I mean, they got down 9-0. They led 17-9 midway through the third quarter and didn't score another point.
Yeah.
How big is the ground game this year? How much do they need? A good ground game.
I think they need it quite a bit with the question marks they have at receiver.
I think they have to. I think Green has
to. What are the overlying question marks that are bothering you? I'm not that concerned about receiver. Like, what's your?
Well, I don't know that they have a lot of. I mean, they have okay, Edelman.
So wait a minute. You're not concerned with receiver?
Not as much.
Edelman's last year was his first real healthy year, right?
Yep, full year. Yep.
Amendola.
Who's
been hurt every year in his career.
He's got something to prove. Okay.
And then you have three second-year guys that were hit or miss last year, that were up and down, as you might expect.
And they brought in LaFell.
LaFell, who I don't know what he's going to do here in a new system. I mean, so other than Gronk, if he's healthy, I think you have a lot of questions. I mean, Edelman, I think, if he stays healthy, will be productive. But you have small guys. Your top two receivers right now going into the season – I assume would be Edelman and Amendola.
Yeah, they kind of don't have still that outside long presence.
No, they don't.
You know, I mean,
can Dobson be that?
Yeah, I mean, and you've got Tompkins, who's trying to kind of, he's on the bubble a little bit.
But see, Dobson's already behind the eight ball.
Yeah,
he hasn't practiced.
He's been missing the entire offseason.
What's wrong with him?
He's got a foot injury.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
You know, but getting back to the running game, I think it's really important for Shane Vereen to take that next step. We saw glimpses of it last year. He got hurt a little bit, but he dropped three wheel routes that, had he caught those balls, would have been big, big catches.
And he has to catch those balls. That's his role.
You know, when you've got that running back in there, he's got to be a threat to either run or catch the ball. That's what makes it special.
I think Ridley is a terrific running back if he can hold on to the football.
Yeah.
I think he can be very
good. Oh, I do too. I think he's your best pure running back.
All of his fumbles were lost last year.
I think he's the best
on
the team.
But Vereen is, I think, more of your Kevin Falk type.
Yeah. Well, he's supposed to be the dual threat.
And I hate to put anybody in the Kevin Falk. Kevin Falk, it was a great player in his role.
Yeah. Let's see. Scott writes in, I have my own questions that perhaps you can help me with this offseason. It may be counterintuitive, but is it possible that the Patriots put so much emphasis into the regular season that the team cannot transition their game enough in the playoffs?
I would say no.
No.
I think they put everything into every game. I don't. They've had as much playoff success as anybody. You know, three Super Bowl wins, but five Super Bowls.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
Yeah, don't think
Fred,
so
is it possible that Federer is on the decline? Well, it is possible.
Federer.
Although, you know, he did pretty well.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I just said that the other day to somebody. I'm like, you know, Federer is probably not who he was, and he's still playing in the Wimbledon final.
Right. Yeah.
Can you see easily moving outside in certain passing downs to spell Ninko? I can.
Really?
I can see him moving around the line. Absolutely. Eric, who's not here, if the PFW crew represents the ego, super ego in the id, who is who? We'll let Eric answer that. When I need a landscaper
next
month.
For all super egos.
When I need a landscaper next month, can you get me Jake Beckett's phone number?
Oh, that's mean.
If you could have any non-football, non-media member as a guest on PFW besides Eric, who would it be? So, again, he's saying a non-football guy. Any member? I don't know.
What?
Of what?
I'm
confused.
Any non-football, non-media member as a guest on PFW besides Eric, who would it be?
My mother.
Your mother. Okay, that's not a good answer.
I don't know. What's he looking for?
Like, it can be anybody.
He wants her to pick a celebrity?
Yeah. Who would you want to have as a guest?
How about
Giselle?
Ryan Reynolds.
Who is that?
He's an actor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Giselle.
Yeah.
I'd pick like Luke Bryan.
A hunk.
Luke Bryan.
You want a hunk?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I don't know. I have no idea.
I'd have to think about that.
Matt Damon.
You know?
Yeah.
I'd have to think about that.
Maybe. What, are you kidding me?
You know.
Matt Damon, local guy, knows our teams a little bit.
Okay. Given that,
not Mark Wahlberg, because he refused to voice over
what
the film.
What if he brought burgers?
Yes.
What if he brought burgers?
No, I won't go there.
Oh, I see. I would.
Given that we could have gotten Dez and we took McCourty instead, would you have taken Dez knowing what you know today? I think I know where Eldridge stands. Keep it cool and go Eldridge. Dez Bryant, would you take him knowing what you know now about Dez Bryant?
What, that he's a little bit of a...
Yeah. I mean, he's helped the Cowboys win the Super Bowl, right? They've won every year since he's been there. Oh, wait, they haven't even made the playoffs. Right. Okay. All right.
So is that a no, then?
I think I'd stick with McCourty.
Yeah.
I take Dez Bryant.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. He's got problems, too. He's got issues.
Yeah. Oh,
but he wouldn't
way.
Have those here, Fred.
Are you saying he would or he wouldn't?
I'm pretty
sure. No, I'm being sarcastic that people would say that he wouldn't.
I know, but so what do you say?
I think he could have some
problems.
You
just said you'd take him.
I would take him. That doesn't mean I think that sometimes you take chances with guys with talent if you feel like you have a strong character in your locker room.
I won't bring that up.
We'll close out that conversation.
Patrick from Agawam writes in, I figured I'd do something different today, and since there's not too much to talk about, well, we're managing.
Yeah.
I figured I'd throw out an over-under game for the sake of the game. Excuse me. For the sake of the game, let's assume that everyone on this list plays at least 14 games this year. Here goes. Over-under. Brady touchdown passes, 28. Over, I say.
28. 28 touchdown passes for the season?
Yes. No, for one game, Jackie.
Well, I mean, that's...
for the and we assume that he's going to play at least 14 games.
Yeah, over safe on that.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Okay, next.
I'll tell you what. Probably over.
Brian thinks they're going to run the ball like 70% of the time.
He's
stuck in the 70s.
I would like them to run the ball more.
He thinks Craig James and all these guys are going to come back, and you know John Hanna's coming back, and they're just going to run the ball.
I think if Tom Brady threw 25 touchdown passes and they rushed for 17, they'll be a better team than if he throws 40 and they rush for 5.
Gronkowski touchdown catches, 15. Over or under?
Over.
You think over?
Yeah, if he's healthy. Yeah. Oh,
that's a lot, Jackie.
I wouldn't say over by that much, but yeah.
The record for a season
is
23, and that's
Moss.
That's Moss.
And he had 17 one year, or 18.
Gronkowski did, and
that was the record.
That was the record.
By a tight end. Yeah.
Hell, we're on the big screen right now. Give me a chest bump.
Hasn't he set records his first year here? Then. Yeah.
I don't.
I'm not.
Hey, stand by it. I say under. Don't let him talk you out of it.
No, I'm not.
Amendola receptions, 80.
Under.
That's a tough one. It's tough. Somebody's going to catch these balls. You know, will Edelman have another 100 catch season? Or will it be spread out more? Mm. Amendola had how many last year? 50, 60? I forget.
Let's see. I might go under on that.
Brian, you don't know that off the top of your head?
I don't know how many
he has. It's not one of the exhibits in the hall? No?
Eight.
Eight. How about Vereen receptions? 60.
Under.
Under.
Way under.
Dobson receiving yards, 900.
No.
Under.
Under?
Yeah.
Okay. Ridley.
Well, I think we're going to average 7 points a game. I keep saying under.
Ridley rushing yards, 950.
Over.
I'm going to go over, too.
Yeah. I think that's attainable if he's healthy, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Jones, now we're going over to the defense.
Wait, hold on. What was the Amendola receptions?
80.
He had 54 last year.
How many did Dobb? How many did.
You know what? I'll say over. If he plays 14 games, I'm going to change my mind.
So he had
that.
54 catches last year.
And that, how many games did he play? He didn't even play.
Right. Well, he missed, I think.
Yeah,
only
okay,
two
so
games.
He played 12 games.
Yeah. Oh, he missed 4 games.
Yeah.
Jones sacks.
He would have caught 10 a game in those 4.
Jones sacks. It was a good one.
15.
Under.
15's a lot of sacks.
A lot of sacks.
Yeah, he had 11, like 12 last year, right?
18 and a half is the Patriots' record, and the guy's in the Hall of Fame.
Okay, fine.
Fine what?
I would say 15.
Push.
I'd say even.
Under.
Easily sacked, 5.
I mean, I'm not even going to answer that. No. How do you, how is this, that's
right. Well,
dumb.
It's a guess. It's a
game. Over.
It's a game.
Over.
5
Eight.
Sacks?
Yeah.
5 sacks, that's the question?
And under.
He plays 14 games.
Because here's why I say under. Even when he was at his prime in Florida, he wasn't getting sacks. He wasn't a sack guy. He was a disruption guy. He creates sacks for other guys.
Yeah, and Richard Seymour got criticized for having a sack and a half in college or whatever, and he was great.
For easily, it won't be about sacks. Mayo tackles, 151.
Over.
Jeez.
Over.
I don't know about that.
It's a lot.
I would say under on that.
Yeah, I'd say under.
150 tackles?
Yeah.
Under.
Collins sacks, 8.5. Jamie Collins.
Ooh, that's a good question. Are they going to use him to rush the passer?
Yeah, I don't see that.
All right. Jamie Collins interceptions, 3.
No.
I say under
on that.
And
push.
Revis,
I'm going push.
Finally, Revis interceptions, 4.
Over.
Yeah, I'd say
over.
I'd go with that.
You don't think teams will steer away from him?
Not yet.
No?
Isn't he coming off an injury?
No, he played all last year.
He did. Oh, that's right, he did.
But
he was
did
injured
before
the year before.
That. Yeah.
Right. How many did he have last year? Does anyone know?
Interceptions?
I think he only had 5, but I'm not
I would go
sure
over.
About that.
I'm going to go over.
I'm not sure about that.
Anything.
While you're looking that up, Jackie, how many interceptions Revis had last year? Let's go to the phones. Neil's in Montreal. Hey, Neil.
How you doing, guys?
Great.
Habs good. Suck.
Oh, come on now.
Suck. I don't know how many he had either. That's
Wait.
Not why I'm calling in.
Interceptions in 2013?
Yeah, Revis.
He had 2.
2. Only 2. Okay.
Continue. Sorry, I apologize.
Oh. Don't apologize. You have to be more aggressive, Jack.
I know. I'm learning that.
Be more aggressive. Don't let Brian have all this. The
he's reliving all the glory years.
Yeah.
I got to let him have his
Just tell
regret.
Me to shut up.
I have a question, actually. It's a totally different question. I've been waiting to hear and no one's asked, and you guys haven't talked about it, so this is more directed to Fred. For the preseason games this year, Fred, are we going to see Paul and Andy in the comfy chairs, or is that not yet decided?
Yes, I'm not sure if they'll be in the comfy chairs. I hear there might be a change in setting for them. So the set might look a little different, but they will be part of the preseason broadcasts.
Okay, and the same announcers and color men?
Yep. But okay. They'll be better because now they've done it for
they'll
a year.
They've got to improve that.
Oh, really, Brian?
Yeah.
What do they have to approve?
Well, we'll talk about it.
Okay. All right,
Neil. They only get four games, right?
It might be four
I
this
think
year.
I think it's all the preseason games.
Yeah, I think this year we have all four. Yeah. So sometimes it's a national, and we don't get to produce
all
of
them. Yeah, no, we have all four.
Yeah. So Jackie knows. She's right down there in the pit, KSP, so she knows.
All four. We're ready to go.
Yep.
Okay, well, thanks a lot, guys. I'm glad you have a little change of pace today. It's been welcome. Thanks.
Okay, Neil, thanks.
Okay.
Let's go to Maine. TC's on the line. Hey, TC.
Hello.
TC.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
You are talking about my favorite thing, number.
Oh, my
is
gosh.
This Bob
is this
Doyle?
A joke? This
is this Bob Doyle?
What?
What number is Jimmy Garoppolo wearing?
That is so Bob.
I think this is Bob Doyle.
What number is he wearing?
Kraft Sports
Ten.
Productions.
10.
Do tell. How many days until training camp begins?
Ooh. What's today? The 8th to the 24th.
16.
All right.
I love them.
Thanks, Bob. All right. Bob
so
Doyle, master of disguise.
Bobby D. Yeah. Bobby
Obviously
Digital.
Obviously not a master. You sniffed him right out.
Chester's in Portland. Hey, Chester.
Hey, Fred. How you doing?
Good. Bring it.
Jackie, Brian, what's happening?
This All is right. Bob
no,
Doyle.
It. No, it isn't. I know Chester.
That was the most bizarre call I've ever heard. Plenty on this show, my goodness. But hey, I had a 1 year out on the show today. I've been kind of running around today, but man, I really hope that this San Diego plan works out, Fred. I mean, if you remember, I put the gauntlet out. This San Diego roadie is going to be the best of the year. I just got to tell you, I really hope the dots get connected to get all four of you guys out there. But just a quick.
What about me?
Couple thoughts about. And you too, Jackie, of course, but hey. It's kind of a shoe-in that you're going to be there. I know Eric and Fred are there, but I called out Andy and Paul to try to tack on a
good. A call him out.
To maybe do a PPGS before that game would be amazing. But just a couple thoughts about today's show. Am I the only one that's getting a little freaked out by all this Jamie Collins hype? I mean, I want this kid to have some expectations, but I'm a little worried. I mean, it just seems like the national media is really pouring this guy out as a potential big-time year two jump guy, and I'm a little freaked out about all that hype. See, any thoughts about that?
You're freaked out about the hype?
Well, there's a lot of pressure on this kid. This kid is, this
guarded optimism.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a little too far one way, but, I don't want this kid to be, freaked out by all the hype. But, quick thought about the running game. I like the, Ridley on paper without the fumbles and, what kind of player he is, Brian, like you said, but who's going to bring the attitude? The blunt brought to Pittsburgh. I mean, I'm worried about who's going to, be that mental hammer that's going to impose some will on defenses. And right now I feel like that's a question. I feel like we don't
that's
have
a good,
that.
That's a good question.
Listen, I feel like with the finesse passing game that we have, you got to have a rock to offset that somewhat and have an imposing presence, especially later on down the stretch. And I feel like that's something we just don't have to offer. I know there's been mutterings about Stephen Houston maybe being that type of player, but, I'm an old-school guy when it comes to running the football, and I know it's not a prominent strategy in the NFL anymore, but you got to have a hammer and somebody's going to lay the wood when it counts, against the Baltimores and the Pittsburghs and some of these teams that have given us problems in the past. But, that's one thing. And, Fred, you talked about Vereen taking the next step, but what quantifies that in your opinion? I mean, is it just about catching the football on the wheel route and staying healthy? Or should we expect more, running the football out of him? Look, I know we've all had high hopes for this kid, but, it's a contract year. You talk about taking the next step, but, before I let you go, what exactly does that entail? I mean, is it just a black and white thing about catching the football and staying healthy, or should we expect more elements from this game? That's all I got. You guys, thanks for sitting in today, and I'm out.
Okay, thanks, Chester. I mean, as to me with Shane Vereen, to me what it means to take the next step is – being on the field. That's number one. And two, yes, being consistent in the passing game. You know, throwing to your running back out of the backfield should be a high percentage play. It should be.
Well, and, you have a matchup advantage,
right,
typically.
And so the running back needs to keep it a high percentage play by running the good route and getting open and catching the ball. And so, you know, that's what guys like Falk and a guy like David Meggett would do. You know, they were your third down backs because they were so versatile and you had to defend both. And they would catch it.
And they could protect the quarterback.
Yes. That's a
pass
that's
protection
yeah.
is a critical
a good point.
Part of that.
But
position.
I think Marine's
he's getting there, though.
He's done
that.
Okay, and I yeah. think he's an okay runner. He needs to stay healthy and be reliable in the passing game.
I don't understand why he's all that concerned about Jamie Collins.
He's concerned about the hype he's getting.
I understand. Like, I mean, for the Patriots defense to go to that next level, Jamie Collins is a big part of that.
Right.
You know, he's.
But the bigger the stage got last year, the better he did. There's definitely the element of like concern for any player who goes from the first year to the second year jump. But I mean, I don't think that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not.
It's you're right. There is that element of, you know,
the transition
pressure
from...
on the player to make that jump. But on this team, they depend on him.
It warrants the line. I think he would say it warrants the line, the Bill Parcells line. Okay, fellas, let's not put him in Canton just yet.
Right.
I think that's where he's going with that. Like, let's settle down until the guy does it over a whole season as opposed to come on at the end of his rookie year. He progressed as you would have hoped last year.
Right.
The way maybe Ty Law progressed as a rookie, where he came on late in the season and all of a sudden the following year he became a more prominent player.
Now, I have that concern with Edelman. The too much hype, trying to live up to what he did last season. That's where I'm kind of like, let's stay quiet.
But with the thing about Edelman, and I think I'm speaking for a lot of fans, is they hope that he doesn't have to do what he did last year.
Right.
You know, he had to do what he did. He was all Brady had by the end of the season. I think fans are saying, if that's the case this year, if Edelman has over 100 catches again this year, then we're going to stink on offense.
And listen, what
Brady needs to get other people involved in the offense.
What made Troy Brown what he was, or Wes Welker what he was here and still is in Denver, and is that they did what Edelman did year after year.
Right.
So I think now it's up to Edelman to build on last season. Can he do it again? I'm not necessarily talking about 100-plus catches.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the big catches in the big spots that move the chains.
Right.
That's what he did last year.
Yeah.
Let's go to Dan. I was going to ask, why does Eric sound even more like a girl than usual? But I realized it couldn't be him because Jackie speaks with much more personality and much less arrogance.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be a shot at me.
Snap. Snap. So you don't listen to this show a lot, huh, Jackie?
Not a whole lot, no.
Okay. It's a mean show.
Yeah, it is a mean show.
Believe me,
I know that much.
I'm being nice to both of you because
I know that much.
You helped me out. You're here.
I could take some shots.
You got arrogant Eric.
I'm not going to kill you.
You got a-hole Andy.
Oh, it's a tough room.
Yeah.
And then Paul.
Y'all are not an easy group.
Snarky Paul.
Snarky Paul. Okay.
How about pessimist Paul? Can we start calling him that?
Yes, pessimist Paul.
On the defense, to those who think they could be as good as 04, I ask one question. Are we still making that comparison if they don't have Revis? No, of course not.
I don't think they're as good as 04.
Now, the objective people who remember the old defenses should say no, because those teams were built to survive the loss of a single impact player. We were able to put receivers not named Edelman at corner for stretches of time, and the front seven was completely different in both philosophy and experience. This year, we're counting on a lot of players to make jumps or contribute coming off injury without much behind them. I just don't think we'd feel very confident about this defense were it not for the fact that it has a generational talent this year.
What?
I think Revis is a big part of the...
No, but he's right.
Yeah.
He's right. I mean, go back to like 03, like I brought up earlier with all the injuries they had. I mean, you had Matt Chatham, who's a special teams guy, but for a short period of time, with Vrabel out, could come in and contribute, and you wouldn't lose a whole lot. Now, if Matt Chatham was in there as your starter from week to week, he would get exposed. But for a short period of time, filling in, he was solid. And does this team have those guys? Now, you could argue that Chris Jones and those guys did that last year, much to the surprise of many.
Volano.
Right? I didn't even know who those guys were.
Yeah.
I'm watching games on Sunday, and I'm like, where did that guy come from?
Joe Volano, I think his first game in Atlanta, didn't he come up with like a sack?
Probably.
Or something, I think. That was his first game.
And I'm like, who's Joe Volano?
Or maybe it wasn't his first game, but it was. I think it was, let's see, yeah. He was pretty impressive, I thought.
They coached him up, as they like to say.
Let's see, Steve in Killeen, Texas. Fred and great guests of PFW. Clearly it is the offseason, and this topic keeps bubbling up to the surface, so I'm going to weigh in. The reality is Brady has declined, but that decline has been minuscule over the years, and his experience helps to offset this. See the ever-retiring Favre still playing at 40 years old. Plus, unlike quarterbacks who entered the league as the anointed ones, Brady keeps the six-round pick chip on his shoulder.
Yes.
And I have no doubt,
100%,
given the competitor that he is, it is part of his overall motivation and work ethic. That's what you said,
Jackie.
Yeah,
that's exactly what I said.
It is these facts that make Brady able to be related to by fans, even though he enjoys the rarefied air that is being a multiple Super Bowl winning quarterback who is married to a supermodel. We get that Brady got to where he is by being driven to work hard for what he wanted. Keep up the great work, and I will follow up with Kevin later to do another week of lunches. Oh, wow. Thanks.
Aww.
That's great. Getting toward the end here. Let's go back to the phones. Harley's in North Carolina. Hey, Harley.
Hey, man. I was wondering if y'all ever watched the top 100 players in the NFL?
No. Mm-mm. I know of it, of course. I don't watch it.
I was going to ask where y'all thought Brady would place tomorrow night. And
Is that among current players?
Yeah. They always do the top 100 players, every year.
He's supposedly going to top 10 or predict him to go number 2 behind Manny.
I was going
to
say he's at least going to be top 10. How do we narrow it down from there?
It's tough. I mean, you got to look beyond the quarterbacks as well. I think that, Calvin Johnson is in the mix for top 10.
Adrian Peterson.
Peterson. There's a
lot of defensive players.
Yep. Yeah. But
all right, and then another question is
Russell Sherman.
Russell
Wilson. If
you predicted Manning to have a down season, do you think Tom Brady could take the MVP next year?
Sure, absolutely.
I think he could take it without Manning having a down season. I think it's up in the air. I mean, Manning obviously had a phenomenal season a year ago, but I think you could see. What's his name? Kaepernick come back and have a great season again.
Who knows? But I really want the reason why the Patriots go all the way this year because of their defense. That's why I
would agree with you.
So I don't really care if Brady is in the running for
defense and the
player.
Running game.
Brian can have it his way.
I want the pressure taken off Brady this year. Of course, now he's going to be the reason of.
Yeah, you don't want them to run the ball.
Lose, but I want this defense to really win some games.
I want him under center in 3rd and 2 and 3rd and 3 situations with a back behind him. I don't care whether they throw or pass, but I don't want him in the shotgun with an empty backfield in those situations.
Is this offensive line good enough for that, do you think?
Yes, right behind Logan.
Well, you've got new coaches here.
A lot of people don't think the offensive line is as good as everyone thinks.
With all the you've got all the starters coming back.
Yep.
I mean, is what's his name healthy at right tackle? The German guy?
Volmer?
Yeah, right. Yeah. He's good.
All right, so who's your center?
Right now it's Wendell, but it could be Brian Stork. It could be,
got a lot of
somebody
guys.
Else.
And who's your right guard?
Right guard, right now I'd say it would be Cannon or Connolly, Cannon if Volmer starts at right tackle.
Okay, I think Cannon, got some experience last year. I don't know how good he is. Wendell, center, but certainly your left side is pretty strong.
Josh Klein is coming on. He could be in the running for a guard spot.
I don't think the offensive line has really been a problem under Bill Belichick. Now, you lost your offensive line coach, and he was a good one, but I think they've done a good job over the years of developing offensive lineman. And if you remember, Fred, back when Bill got here, he talked about the offensive line development program that he used in Cleveland that brought guys up like Zeus, that Orlando Brown.
And
that
he also
weren't
said, you never draft a guard in the first
Newyear.
Round, and then he went and did it.
He didn't say that publicly.
Yes.
but I think Mankins and what's his name, the 6'8 guy there?
Solder.
I think that's a solid left side.
I do, too. Yeah. What else you got, Harley?
All right. What about the 6'8 tight end 6'8" tight end.
Oh, is that Justin Jones?
Is he been looking good, or is he maybe?
No, not really. I mean, you can't tell right now. I mean, he'll be one to watch in training camp. But I mean, last year we all thought that Zach Sudfeld was the new and up and coming Gronk, and then he completely fell apart in the preseason. And
according to people that have watched Jones in practice, nothing other than his size, he doesn't have the athleticism to, you know, do anything with the ball, and it's, I don't know about his hands at this point.
I'm not going to, I mean.
All right, thanks, Harley, for the call. Let's see. Lots of emails, and I apologize for not getting to more of them. But we'll be back on Thursday. Brian, you're going to be back on Thursday?
I think I can.
All right, Jackie, you're out, right?
I'm out. I'm at the Aaron Dobson event.
You're going to the Aaron Dobson event.
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe we'll find somebody else, Brian, you know.
Sure.
So we'll see.
I don't think you need anybody. I think Brian could, he can steal the show.
Oh, yeah. He could do it himself if he wanted to.
Oh, no, that's not fun.
So many emails. Let's see. Cody writes in, love the show as always. I realized something kind of funny. Every year this decade that we have played the NFC East, we have gone to the Super Bowl. Just a quirk, little quick little fact.
Huh.
Thanks as always.
Are they playing the NFC East this year?
Are they?
Can't be.
No, we're playing the NFC North. Minnesota, Green Bay.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Detroit. Yeah. So, unfortunately.
Green Bay. I'm excited about that.
I'm going to have to see if I can go to Green Bay. They're renovating their museum right now.
Is that right?
Doesn't reopen until the spring of 2015. They basically started from
scratch. Wait until the spring of 2015 to go?
I'd like to see where they are in the process.
You've never been there before?
I have not been to the museum, no.
Oh, okay. Yeah, don't bother. Ours is better.
They're building a new one. You know, they knew ours was better. I think that's part of it.
Let's see. Corey writes in from London. First-time emailer, long-time listener. Had a question on something I saw on the Bleacher Report. Chris Sims said that Aaron Dobson would have a breakout year, having 900-plus receiving yards and 8 touchdowns. Just wondered what your thoughts are on that. Also, he said that he did the scouting tape on him for the Patriots when he came out of college, had no clue he was part of the scouting staff. Love the show. Keep up the great work. Yeah, Chris Sims was part of the scouting staff, Phil Sims' son. I'd see him in the bathroom every once in a while.
Oh, that's a good tidbit.
Wasn't Al Gross' son that year, too?
He might have been, yeah. So then
he's biased. He probably had an influence in us.
I don't know
him.
If Chris Sims has been paying attention to what's going on. He might be judging it from what he saw on the tape back then. But right now, Dobson hasn't practiced.
Yeah,
he's
I don't
behind
think you
the
can really say that
yeah.
yet.
I mean, I would say of the receivers that the three new guys that they brought in last year, Tompkins, Dobson, and Boyce,
right.
I thought Dobson would be the best of the three. And I still think he might be.
He was the highest pick, right?
Yeah,
he was the highest pick. Yeah. So, all right. Well, we got a lot more to talk about. We'll do it on Thursday at noon. I want to thank Brian Morey, Executive Director at the Hall of Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon.
Can I get a quick plug-in?
Hold on. Jackie Britton.
That's how you emailed Jackie Beaches to see what she wanted for lunch.
I did. Jackie Britton from Patriots Today coming in and filling in. Chris Ferreira for filling in for Kevin in the booth and scrambling to get the board ready when it lost power just before the show started.
I'm sorry, I pulled the plug. Yeah, I just wanted to say that the hall, we still have our 31 Days of July program going on, activities every single day in the hall. So check out the hall at patriotplace.com if you're local, and you can check out our calendar.
And Jackie, what are you working on?
We are starting our 14 Questions for 2014 series, and you can go to patriots.com and click on the website and submit questions. So we will begin that on Thursday because that's when it'll officially be 14 days until training camp.
All right. Well, we'll see you Thursday.
All right.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.